Hello mga kababayan, magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Welcome po sa 114 na yugto ng Usapang Pinoy, hatid po sa inyo ng Georgia Asian Times. Ako po si Jane Rowland, ang inyong podcaster. Pag-uusapan po natin ngayon ang isang napaka-importanteng topic, which is mental health. Too many Filipinos are still closed-minded about mental illnesses. A lot of times, people with ADHD have often been misunderstood as lazy, eccentric, and stupid. For others who suffer way more dreadful conditions, they are discriminated against and outcasted and often dismissed as baliw. In other words, insane. That is why we want to bring this topic to the forefront of our discussions. Research shows Filipinos experience mental health struggles at rates like other groups, yet they are significantly less likely to seek professional help. In one study, nearly 75% reported never receiving behavioral health care, often because of stigma, shame, cultural expectations, or fear of judgment. Ang ating pong bisita ngayon ay walang iba kundi si Dr. Christopher Villionco, who will speak to us on mental health and the struggle for support in Filipino communities. Dr. Christopher Villionco is an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Morehouse School of Medicine. He received a BS in neuroscience and behavioral biology from Emory University and MD and MS in clinical research from Morehouse School of Medicine. Ngunit bago ko pa siya tawagin, I want to share with you some interesting facts about mental health. First one, in the U.S., statistics show that Asian Americans' reported rates are often lower, but experts believe this is partly because mental illness is underreported and undertreated due to stigma and cultural shame. And the second one, the new Department of Education in the Philippines helpline now allows students to call mental health counselors by connecting the #337333 helpline with experts from the Department of Education, the National Council on Mental Health. DepEd is care and equally healthcare closer to every student, meaning they are providing the bridge to get help to every student. There are only 4,069 licensed guidance counselors as of 2022, far from the more than 50,000 needed to meet the ideal global ratio of one counselor to every 250 students. Department of Education had resorted to creating counselor associate posts to help fill the gap. Ngayon po, ako ay magbabalik upang ihandog sa inyo ang ating bisitang podcaster. Welcome back mga kababayan. Ngayon po, I am excited to welcome to Usapang Pinoy, Dr. Christopher Villionco, an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Morehouse School of Medicine. In addition to what I already informed you about Dr. Villionco in my introduction, he received his residency training in psychiatry at Morehouse School of Medicine. He was selected for the NIH funded clinical research education and career development for the combined Morehouse-Emory research track. His research uses epidemiological, if I pronounce it correctly, and qualitative research methodology to understand informal and emerging substance use treatments with a special focus within Asian American and Filipino American communities. Welcome, Dr. Chris. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us in Usapang Pinoy.
Yes, kumusta po sila. Thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. So I'm happy to talk to you.
Great, great. Thank you so much. I gave our audience an introduction about you earlier to include your academic and medical background, but please let our audience hear from me about who you are and what you do.
Yes, so like you mentioned, I am an assistant professor here at Morehouse School of Medicine in the psychiatry department. So I see patients, but I also do some research and want to look at health disparities both and within the Asian American community minorities and then Filipino Americans, kasi po I'm Filipino American myself.
That's great. You have a very very good reputation in the Philippine community. When I was looking for a mental health expert, everybody pointed to you. So That's wonderful. So thank you. Let's go ahead and dive into our conversations. So in many Filipino families, mental health is still seen as something you just pray through or stay strong through. Why do you think emotional struggles are often minimized or hidden in the culture?
Yes, Paul, that's a great question. And I guess one thing that I want to start off by saying is, I think Western medicine in general has a overemphasis on maybe the biological component of mental health. And maybe the Filipino or Asian American culture has some things right. There can be spiritual factors to your mental health. There can be psychological factors or social factors. And sometimes I think as doctors, we maybe overemphasize the biological or medical components that bring mental health. But with that being said, I think there is still a large amount of maybe what we'll call spiritualization in the Filipino American community. And we can trace that back to, you know, our roots of being a Catholic country through colonization of the Spanish. And, you know, religion can be a wonderful thing, but sometimes it can also hinder people from seeking help and maybe over-spiritualize their issues, and that could prevent people from seeking help. Another thing I wanted to highlight is this concept called bahalana within our culture.
Yes.
And there's not a perfect translation. It's sort of like whatever will be, will be.
Right.
But there's also studies showing that the bahalana sort of mentality can be somewhat traced to, let's just quote unquote, give things to God. And that, although that could be a great way to cope, it could also stop people from seeking maybe the mental help and acknowledging the mental health and stress that this person is under.
Right, right. That is so true. This is the first time I've ever heard of the spiritual side. Because I've been talking to mental health practitioners for the last couple of years, because we try to put this in the forefront of discussions. And like I said, this is the first time that that angle has been addressed, which is wonderful. Thank you so much. So my second question is, the Filipino culture is known for resilience and perseverance, but can that same expectation to be strong sometimes prevent people from asking for help?
Yes, Paul. Again, you know, I think there's so much beauty and strength in the Filipino culture and Filipino Americans. I really believe resilience and perseverance is what makes us successful and what I love. I mean, what many people love about the Filipino culture. And I think that's why we've gotten so far in being the people that we are and surviving.
Right.
Pero I do think that there is maybe a dual-edged component to that, where, you know, we do take a lot of pride in who we are, and we really want to come off as strong to our family, to our communities. And I think that that can be seen as a sign of weakness within the Filipino-American culture. And because of that, people may feel like they don't want to seek help, or even admitting help, then at some point turns and the individual doesn't seek the help that they need for different reasons that they really should. I think that we also are a very collectivist culture, and we want to show to our family, to the people around us, our community, that we are able to do things. But sometimes strength isn't just pushing through. Sometimes strength is recognizing that you need treatment and getting the treatment that you need or seeking the help that you need. But I don't think in our community we maybe acknowledge that aspect of strength. And, you know, Asian Americans and Asians in general tend to minimize symptoms and look internally. And sometimes that is good, but sometimes you do need to seek help outside.
That is so true. You know, it's part one of the parts of my keynote speech, as in, I don't know if you know that I've launched my professional speaking business, but the one research I found is that when you said resilience and being strong, and people think that, you know, you're strong because you're quiet, or you're strong because you went through it. But like you said, the effect sometimes is you're denying things. You're postponing in the bahala na system kicks in. And then it doesn't mean that when you are resilient, it doesn't mean that you can just keep quiet. It doesn't mean that you are strong. And as you said, you know, you have to acknowledge it first. You have to acknowledge it. And it doesn't mean that if you cry or if you keep quiet, that you are not strong. That doesn't mean that you're not strong. But thank you for that. It's a very good perspective. So how does the concept of hiya, meaning shame or embarrassment, impact mental health conversations in Filipino households?
Yes. So I think this is kind of building off of our, you know, conversation that we're having around the understanding of strength and wanting to look a certain way, appear a certain way. And hiya, right, in mm-hmm. our culture, it is directly translated to shame. Pero I think there is a sort of deeper context in the Filipino culture that's really hard to grasp. We're an extremely, I mentioned before, collectivist culture. We are a strong community, and there's a lot of ties amongst the community and families. And because of that, there's just a large sensitivity to not bring any shame or embarrassment to your family or to yourself. Kasi news travels fast. There's right. something called chismis, which is yes. like gossip within the Filipino-American community.
Yes.
And I think that there's sort of two ways that this impacts Filipinos who are dealing with mental health issues or substance use issues. One is the family member themselves, because they don't want to bring shame or embarrassment to their family members or about themselves, they will hide their own mental health issues. And then on top of that, I think the family, once they acknowledge that there's mental health issues, they in turn will also hide the issue from the larger community.
That is so
true. And I think what this does is it creates like a culture of silence, or it enforces the idea that mental health or substance use is taboo. Mm-hmm. And in an attempt to what they call save face or keep face in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this can be dangerous if an individual really needs treatment. Like sometimes maybe, yes, the family is able to deal with it, but sometimes it's really important to bring in a professional or even bring this to another support system. And sometimes that I guess, help-seeking behavior really just doesn't happen because of this concept of shame or mm-hmm. hiya or even trying to save face.
That's very true. But you know what? We have grown. The Filipino culture back in the Philippines when I was growing up, you're ashamed to talk about it, or people are ashamed to talk about it. And growing up as a kid, I've seen people walk down the street and then people will just ignore them. People walk down the street with some mental defect. Or some, you know, mm-hmm. expressions of whether they're like talking loudly by themselves or like kind of showing all kinds of symptoms. But people ignore them because they're embarrassed. But now, apparently, I've been going home, you know, every few years, I have seen the difference that now they are trying to address it professionally. And now there's more people going to school for psychology, for counseling, for psychiatry.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a good thing. But yeah, you're so right.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm really proud that the Philippines can really take steps like that. And I think maybe COVID happening really changed the way that we in America, but also individuals in the Philippines and everyone across the globe really looks at mental health, because I think one of the issues is we're all at home and really stressed about the world. And I think it really brought mental health to the forefront. So maybe one of the silver linings of the pandemic, unfortunately or fortunately.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, many Filipino Americans and immigrants turn first to family, friends, church, or spiritual guidance before seeking professional care. Why is professional mental health support often seen as the last resort?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, this statement definitely is backed up by the research. You know, I should have mentioned I do a lot of research as well. And I want to maybe touch on one, a couple things. The first one I want to mention is this term called pakikisama.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, again, direct translation. It's sort of getting along with each other,
right,
maybe is a direct translation, but it's more like a shared idea or shared identity concept. And I think in the American society, there is this maybe feeling that Western providers or American providers or non-Filipino providers are not pakikisama.
Mm-hmm.
And that can maybe limit a Filipino or a Filipino American to feel comfortable seeking outside of their own support system.
That's very
true. So I really think that that's one challenge. And like you mentioned, I'm really glad that there are more Filipinos going into mental health profession, pero it is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need more cultural representation within the medical field, especially in America. A Filipino-American counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, even just, not even professional, but individuals who are well-informed of mental health to truly bridge the gap of the care that we need. On top of that, I also think that there's some other sort of psychosocial barriers that we can see. So, for example, cost. You know, a lot of Filipino Americans are immigrants and maybe not as well off, and it's difficult to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, I think that there's difficulty navigating the healthcare system. You know, we don't grow up in the US, a lot of us, so we don't have the skills of how to navigate the system, and it's very different than in the Philippines. And the last one is I do think that there's a lot of educational barriers around mental health, what it is and what it isn't. And because of those things, I think Filipinos are a lot more likely to then seek help from within the community and those they're comfortable with in a space that they know how to navigate and where they know how to get support.
That's right.
I guess the last thing I want to say is I don't think that turning to family or friends or church or spiritual guidance is bad at all. If anything, I think it's very important and very necessary. But sometimes I do think that there needs to be professional help. And for Filipinos, if they're not educated, they may not know where that line is to seek help from a professional and not. And they'll just continue maybe using substances or suffering through mental illness or distress. And then they'll never get the help that they need.
That's very true. That's very true. We will need to have more informational classes about that for the community. What generational differences do you see between older and younger Filipinos when it comes to discussing depression, anxiety, trauma, or therapy?
Yeah, so I think that this, you know, in my own research, I looked at substance use in Filipino Americans. And one major sort of theme that came out actually was this idea of generational differences with older Filipino Americans talking about the difference between younger Filipino Americans and vice versa. I guess one thing that I will say is silver lining again or benefit of the history of the Filipino Americans is we were colonized by both Spain and the U.S. And so we actually acculturate at faster rates than other Asian American ethno-racial groups and other Asian American groups. And there's many, I guess, wonderful things that come with that. So in the younger generation, we actually are more open to mental health treatment. There's more of education around mental health and awareness. And it also looks like younger generation Filipino Americans are more open to seeking treatment, which
That's
is very
true.
Good.
That's very true.
Pero I think there's also some challenges. So there's this idea that with each generation that lives in a host country, so Filipino moving to the U.S., we tend to adopt the quote-unquote bad habits of the host country and lose some of the desired habits that make immigrants successful or doing well. So, for example, Filipino Americans who are younger lose some of that sense of the community or the family and become more idealistic or individualistic. And that can ruin some of the natural ways that Filipinos are resilient or strong or are able to deal with mental health issues. Another one in my own research that I found is younger generations, and other studies have found this too, adopt the substance use behaviors of the U.S. society. So we actually have higher rates of substance use than other Asian Americans, such as cannabis and even like cocaine.
Oh, wow.
And that could be because we can acculturate faster, and we then adopt sort of the behaviors of the U.S. citizens. And then the older generation, you know, there is much less not awareness and education and lack of understanding of how to navigate the healthcare field, and that creates some barriers. And I guess the last thing I want to say is the reasons that individuals might get substance use or mental health is inherently different with the older generation having more like using substances or having pressure from work or financial strain, versus we see younger generations maybe using it similar to more Western peers. So for maybe for more psychological relief, social acceptance, or identity searching.
Wow, my goodness. That's a lot of very good information. So my second to the last question is, for many Filipinos, success, sacrifice, and family duty are deeply connected. How does the pressure to provide, achieve, or make the family proud affect emotional well-being?
This is a really good question. I think getting at the heart of, you know, why a lot of Filipinos may struggle with mental health issues. You know, I think that we are a community that really cares about each other. And that's one of the things that, again, I love about the Filipino culture is our love for family, our heart to serve others. Pero there's some studies that show that Filipinos actually tend to devalue or de-emphasize themselves in the interest of others. And while that can be a wonderful trait to have, it can have an impact on our own mental well-being.
That is so true.
You know, I think a good example is a lot of first generation Filipino immigrants, when they come to the U.S., they will really push themselves in work because they really want to make a financial difference for their family, to make it in the country, to send remittances back to the Philippines to support their family back there. And while that's wonderful and it's very necessary, it comes at a cost. And I think that cost of stress or overworking ourselves or not getting enough sleep comes out as mental health in the end if it's not appropriately addressed or taken care of. The other thing that I see, and I found this in my own research, is you know, things that we struggle with can become stigmatized just based on the hiya that we talked about, or the persona that we want to stay strong. So things that we struggle with naturally, we don't want to show, and that hiding also kind of makes more issues come out. So there's an individual, for example, at work who's under a lot of stress, and instead of seeking the help they need, they want to be quote unquote strong or make their family proud. But then that leads to issues at work. Maybe their marriage ends up having issues and then they're either fired or maybe they're separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this concept of shame, and then they'll maybe use substances to cope with it. So maybe they'll turn to alcohol or marijuana mm-hmm. to cope with it. And then it starts this terrible cycle of individuals not doing well. And so I think while it comes from a good place, similar to, you know, like on an airplane, they say, like, when the oxygen mask comes, you can't help someone with their oxygen unless you kind of help yourself and put the oxygen on first. And
yes.
So, you know, I hope we can move towards keeping what makes us us with combining it with kind of an understanding of our own limits and need to stay well ourselves.
Yes, very true. Now, for my last question, if you could change one thing about how mental health is viewed in the Filipino communities, what would you want future generations to understand differently?
Yes, salamat po for asking me this. And, you know, I love this question and I could take it so many ways. I think if there's one single thing that I would really wish that there would be more education and honesty and transparency within the Filipino family. And why do I say that? Well, I think just in my own experience, personally, and with my own research, I found that, you know, stigma, the idea to want to be strong, you know, the pressures, they all come out in the family unit. And the strength, one of the strengths that I love about the Filipino community is the family and the focus on the family. And Filipino culture is considered somewhat of a hierarchical or top-down culture where, you know, the children honor and kind of look up to the parents, titos, titas, lolos, and lolas,
right.
And then they kind of set the culture from the top down. And I think if we could have more of these conversations around the dinner table,
right.
around Christmas, around our meals, I think that conversation behind closed doors is so powerful to changing the narrative and the view in the Filipino-American community around mental health. And I think that if we see that education and love, I think that's where some of the kapwa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just our heart to want to take care of each other, our togetherness, our desire to help. I think if we can really turn that love towards a conversation around mental health behind closed doors, I really think that we're going to see a lot of the barriers, the bad outcomes starting to improve. And so, you know, if you're a Filipino American listening to this, I hope you can find some courage and, you know, maybe some grace for yourself to explore and learn more about mental health and start that conversation in your family around the dinner table.
That's great. That's great. That's wonderful. With that said, I will let you go, Dr. Chris, and thank you so much for the wealth of information that you have provided us today. And we will continue to discuss this and bring this to the forefront to help our community. Maraming
yes.
salamat.
Yes, thank you. Maraming salamat po.
Welcome back mga kababayan. Ako po ay nagpapasalamat ng marami sa ating guest na si Dr. Christopher Villionco for sharing very important information about mental health. And we will definitely have him back. Yun lang po. Sana po ay nagustuhan ninyo ang ating kabanata ngayon. Salamat po sa patuloy ninyong pagtangkilik sa Usapang Pinoy at sana po ay lagi kayong makibahagi sa ating usapan. Maraming salamat po sa inyong pakikinig. Hanggang sa muli, paalam muna sa ngayon.